trotted past Brayburn out into the early hours of the morning. Some ponies are just easily offended, I guess. Brayburn followed him outside. You got that right, he said, greedily licking his lips as the ogled Carmel slank. Imagine if I'd told her about all the sex. Welcome to Notcast, episode 296.
So, Shiva, you know what else fucking grinds my gears about that situation? Oh, I'm sorry, were you talking?
The Jews.
We're not going to go there.
We're not
going to
go there? But, I mean, we were going on all about it at dinner, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, and I pointed out, don't you think it's kind of a coincidence that 9/11 happened on September 11th?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly there's some sort of conspiracy there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Cricket.
So, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're Notcast. Boy, howdy.
What was the name of this episode? Was it that entire paragraph that you read, or did you?
The end is nay, is what I put.
Oh, but
it doesn't exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna type that entire like 2-3 sentences as the file name,
and iTunes will be iTunes like, just what? Barfs on the whole fucking thing.
Imagine if I told her about all the sex.
But yeah, so here, it's Thursday of Rainforest.
Rainforest.
And everyone's having fun without me.
Yep.
And without me.
Fuckers.
And without me. I'm stuck in Texas with you fuckers.
Wait, no. I could be up in Seattle getting high as shit.
That's right, yeah.
But I'm not. I'm here in Texas and. Distressingly sober and recording a podcast with you knobs.
So
Thank you.
I saw like Rainforest's Twitter account had said something like, even though it's legal here, the Hilton really frowns on cannabis, so don't smoke it at the hotel. And I almost replied, that was the only fucking reason I was gonna go.
You know, fucking casual, just get some edibles. Christ, it works better.
I wonder how available they are in Washington compared to Denver.
Well, I don't know about that, but literally across the parking lot from the front entrance to that hotel where the Rainforest is, is a giant-ass billboard advertising a dispensary.
Oh, really?
It's like 4 miles that way or something like that. So it is within stumbling distance of the hotel. Even without a car. So, yeah. It's like Green Mountain or something like that is the name of it. I noted it when I was up there earlier this year for another convention.
Uh-huh.
It's like, but I'm here representing. I've got to be sober this whole weekend. Fuck. Oh, well.
Wouldn't it be the first time that you talked about ponies high as fuck?
Yeah, but I was representing, you know, things beyond that. I did do one episode of My Pony Show while high as a kite while at Rocky Mountain last year.
It'd be great if you had been like a GOH liaison at that other con in Washington and be like, oh my God, Andrea, check this shit out. This feels so fucking amazing. No. Pinkie Pie would love this shit.
No. Not, I didn't do that. But it has been a every week. So the big news of the week, and this happened like last Sunday.
Oh yeah, I guess we gotta talk about this.
So the only convention that's ever had us as guests of honor is dead.
Speak for yourself.
What?
I'm just messing with you.
Oh, I was like, were you a guest of honor or writing guest of honor?
Yeah, for Planet's been a writing guest of honor twice.
Okay. Well, we're not for Planet. We're not cast. So
shut up about your book.
Shut up, God.
I know. I'm really just trying to annoy you.
Yeah.
And it's working, so.
Speaking of guest of honor, the sad news. OklaCon?
That's what we're
discussing.
Talking about. Did you just sort of zone out there?
I did.
Okay, yeah. We were going on to talk about. Why are you?
Hmm?
Are you recording me?
No, I just put my arm down.
You're recording me, aren't
you're
you?
Like, you're holding your phone at this odd angle. Like,
I'm just like wanting to show me something?
Give me 1 second, I'll record you.
Well, it's difficult. Like, if I was getting worried about being recorded, considering recording the podcast.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Are you a cop?
It's like, why are you fucking worried if I'm recording? You're fucking recording. We're all fucking recording.
Oh, no. The man's going to find out. Oh, God.
About the weed and the ponies.
You ever watch Ponies?
On weed.
All right, so... No,
I was trying to find something that I saw earlier today for later on, and
Actually, I'm gonna go pull up the post.
It's oklacon.com. It's not fucking hard to find.
I have to type it with my left hand here
because your right's
busy? Yes, I'm just
being recorded, and the possibility of being double recorded. Just really turns his crank.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Okay, so, yeah. So, oklacon.com, if you go to it right now it says, the header is so long and thanks for all the fish, is actually what the fall comes up as. Mm-hmm. To our oklacon family.
You're not going to read the whole thing, are you?
It's not that long. Well, actually, it is long. I'm going to read the first little bit, though.
We could also just summarize.
Yeah, basically, I would summarize it.
Because that article is copyright, Oklacon Donut Steel, TM.
Okay.
R.
It's like the baseball. If we re-record it in some other capacity, they'll come and beat us.
We touched on Oklacon's previous issue before about three people fucking in their park last year.
Like morons.
And them basically being their contract being canceled at their Romanos State Park, would have been for the last 13 years?
Yeah.
12 years. This was going to be 13. For the last 12 years. And so they moved to another state park, Sequoia. And apparently an attendee called Sequoia State Park and said, hey, these guys that got kicked out of this other park for X reasons. And that opened up a whole kettle of fish. And long story short, the state of Oklahoma has basically said Oklacon can't be in any of their state parks. And it's about 30 days out from event because it's the same weekend as Nightmare Nights. So they're like, there's really nothing they can do about it at this point. And
they're banned from all state parks. So fuck it.
So basically, Oklacon is no more. And they're shuttering the LLC behind Oklacon because the con's name and the company behind it, if they wanted to do anything else, they really have to make a fresh start.
Yeah.
Because if someone's going to try to trace something back to that organization, you know, they're really better off just forming like a whole new LLC and everything else, which I don't know if they're even going to do. You know, but that basically they're like, it's indefinitely, it's gone. The actions of four people, the three fucking in the park and
whatever fucker called Sequoia.
And, you know, I can give a pass to the three young, dumb and full cum drunk kids that did something stupid because that needs like a slap on the wrist and a fine, and it'd be like, don't fucking fuck up again, you fucking morons. You
fucking fuckers.
Right.
Fuck.
And, you know, because of Oklahoma state laws and everything, it became a bigger... They have this thing that, like, a woman cannot legally consent to sex if she's intoxicated. Even if she says after the fact it was consensual, then the man in the situation is still considered a statutory rapist, which... I could see the sort of spirit of the law is trying to protect women that maybe get Rohypnol or something like that. But in actuality, it also removes any agency a woman has.
Yeah, way to remove agency from the individual involved.
Yeah, it's like they had an idea, but it went way too far in the wrong direction. And I don't know. So now this is like underage statutory rape. Intoxication, like these people are truly fucked right now. They're dealing with the legal the three people that were fucking. They're dealing with the legal repercussions of their actions. They've been punished and are going to be punished.
They're fucked.
They're screwed in way worse ways than you would think from what they did. No, the person I really have a hate boner on is whoever called up Sequoia, and who knows why they did it. I don't know. I highly doubt it was just some dumbass being like, oh, these are the same guys who did this, you know. But they said it was an attendee. And someone just basically fucking chopped Okokon's balls off. Mm-hmm. You know,
did more than that.
That person specifically went out of their way to fuck this con. They weren't just drunk and stupid like the other kids were. You know?
That was malice.
That's some real fucking malice there. That person should be nailed to a fucking wall.
By their dick.
Or something.
I mean, they just ruined an event that had been going on for 12 years for hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just so bizarre that, you know, one incident like this could be the death knell. Now, I mean, we went on earlier about the prior thing that the park wasn't happy because there's a bunch of queermos
right.
and all that. But the public sex was kind of the final nail. But for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like, it's really fucking ridiculous. And the thing that pisses me off about the public sex is that it happened like a day before the con. So you can't say staff was negligent or they should have had more security or anything. The con wasn't even on.
Yeah.
There were some people there because sometimes people show up early. You can show up as early as Wednesday.
Yeah, and we did that several times.
But, like, so and that's just, that's idiotic. You know, you can't, and the con did everything it was supposed to do. When they found out, you know, they were legally obligated to report it to the Rangers, which they did. And part of it, I mean, yeah, it really stinks of, like, retaliation from the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because at the time they had, and this is on the journal as well, or the website. It's also on their FA journal. But apparently the state of Oklahoma was not just content to have the legal names and addresses and driver's licenses of the three people involved. They wanted Oklahoma's entire database of attendees and all their information and the car tags and the dealer tax IDs and everything. And Oklahoma was like,
subpoena it.
If you subpoena it,
okay,
then we'll legally comply. But you don't actually need to, I mean, we're going to protect our attendees' privacy.
Yeah, and if they could get a subpoena right for do. It, I mean, it's
if they get a subpoena, it could be arguably legally useful, but this was just them, like, what, wanting to intimidate the con?
Yeah.
I guess so. You know,
be like, hey, these people work in the state government or state government somewhere, you know, let's oust the fur fags. I mean, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
And Oklahoma con did the right thing by telling them to fuck off until they came back with a subpoena, and they didn't. So, yeah. I mean, Oklahoma con got fucked so many different ways.
Yeah. I mean, the state itself seemed like there was some shitty actors involved there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so, you know, a very fun con, a very long-running con for our community is gone now because of what boils down to one vindictive asshole and a bunch of bad coincidences.
Yeah. So there's a underlined paragraph here. To underscore all this, let this be a warning to the entire furry community, both inside Oklahoma and abroad. Poor actors can sabotage not only an event or a convention, but everything we stand for as a community. Despite the incredibly hard work of many furs over the course of more than a decade, it takes only a few selfish individuals acting without regard for each other to destroy the tremendous good that brings us together. Check each other and give careful consideration to the maturity of your actions when you interact, especially at larger community events. There's no excuse for reckless, dangerous, or illegal behavior, and we need to, as a community, voice and act on our intolerance for it. So yeah, four fuckheads killed a con, and yeah, that's really disappointing. I found out about it like on Sunday and was really quite rather upset because I was really hoping to be able to go again.
Yep.
Not this year, but
maybe next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't have that option.
I was thinking about scooting up there for Saturday and coming back.
Yeah, I was thinking going up late Friday after work, coming back Sunday afternoon.
It's not even a long, it wasn't a long drive for us. No. And it was closer, it was
three and
I
a half
think,
hours.
For and where it I was going to be. The guys that put it on. I mean, how?
We've known Wolf and HG for a long ass time.
Yep.
That's... We used their song as our intro for this many, many years. You know?
Yeah.
So that's really disappointing. I mean, and yeah, cons are a huge amount of work and a huge amount of effort, and we all know that.
Yeah.
And just to have all of that just flushed down the drain 30 days out, God, I'd be gutted. I mean, at this point, they just have this money that's now floating around going like, well, fuck. You know, now I have to do, they mentioned they have like 250 refunds to do and all this other stuff. And I'm like, that's a fucking lot of work. And especially if like...
Is some of it's been spent already? Because they would have been into buying season by now.
Yeah, they would have gotten like maybe some like comic book stuff, maybe shirt designs finalized.
If they hadn't even started some of that stuff printing and sending.
You know, lanyards and shit like that.
They should really just throw open like an OkaCon store to sell off some of the old stuff, if nothing else, and help pay off some of the.
I mean, at this point, they got booted from the park, so it's not like they're giving the parks any money. So the, you know, that should just be there.
But
you
know,
still,
they still would have spent some on this year's.
Plus, if the people paid through PayPal and it's past 60 days, they get soaked on the fees a second time.
Yeah,
they lose money there too.
That's awful.
Shit's fucked up.
Yeah, there's nothing good about this.
No, it's all fucked up.
Yeah.
And good, they're the OkaCon trademark will be transferred for safekeeping, and as much there will be no future events that start use this name. The last OkaCon event was OkaCon 2014, and no future event under this brand will be scheduled.
Let's all drive up to that state park and, like piss on a ranger. Okay, no. They shouldn't do it.
No, we should just go to Watonga and, like, burn down their one store.
Oh. Like we said, like, OkaCon accounted for 11% of their tourist season income. So, you know, while the people in the town liked having all the business, the assholes in the park fucking ruined it for everybody. I mean, the staff of the park that were complaining about not wanting same-sex couples to hold hands and not liking the weirdos in the fursuits and accosting people for their appearance and implying that they were on drugs. Basically, you're young, scuzzy-looking guys, you know, which, like, everybody looks like when they're 20.
Also, camping for multiple days and not having necessary access to showers that are not communal.
Yeah. And, you know, just being dicks. And, like, they want their party, they want their... their park to be all children with families, or families with children, basically.
But
we're not really the demographic, but still.
That's fucking like bubble wrapping of everything is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a weird, like, reversion to Puritanism in certain weird ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we gotta keep it. Think of the children. You know, don't think of the children.
No, no pedo.
You know. God. It's bullshit. So that sucks. You
can't trust the system, man.
Nope, you can't. Well, in this case, it's the government, the man, is keeping the furry down.
Yep.
So what else is going on?
So, you know, with that said, I'm not really in the mood for podcasts, so fuck it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Rest in peace, OkaCon. Now let's go get drunk. I'm sad.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have a whole bunch of shit in my fridge.
I got a whole bunch. We don't drink as much as we used to. I got a cabinet full of shit that I need to.
I've got a bunch of shitloads of beer. I've got a 24-ounce growler of, actually two kinds of Temptress plus some cider, a six-pack of Abita chocolate stout.
I don't even know what we've got. Because we've still got at least one case left over from the fucking party at Siesta.
Hey, I'm doing my part and coming over on Tuesdays and drinking some of it.
Drink more.
I can only drink like one at a time.
Reverse your surgery. Drink more.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So other con going on this weekend, of course.
Yeah, Rainforest
is happening.
Also, Fright Fest starts this weekend, so I may go down there. I need to check the dates. Fright Fest is Six Flags is Halloween stuff, and I have a single chance to go do it, and it is probably this weekend. Mm-hmm. I need to see if it is on Friday or only Saturday, Sunday, and then what their hours are, because I want to go and get spooked, and I need to double check that. Also, Retropalooza is this weekend, and that's a retro video gaming thing. It's in Arlington, right near Six Flags, and it looks cool. There's some YouTubers that are going that I like. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
Also, there's TwitchCon this weekend. Yeah. I think it's this weekend.
That's the Twitch TV thing.
Yeah, and I was like apparently under the impression that it was a like fan thing, and it's more actually like a professional conference for people that use the website. Oh. As far as like one of my friends who's actually going says, I'm like, really? So it's not just a bunch of like rando kids going and talking to Tits McGee the stream girl, or you know, Angry McBeardface the FPS player, you know. I don't know names of these streamers, right? Like,
apparently not.
And I'm just saying, it's like I couldn't really think of what the purpose of it was. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's like a, you know, a networking,
like how to build your audience.
Yeah, and like I could use that. I mean, because I've been streaming on Twitch for a little while, and I need to be more consistent about it. But like, people never come by and really watch my shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't have a consistent schedule because I kind of have other shit going on. Like, I plan to do more of that come, you know, November, but right now I'm a little busy. Just a bit.
So, here, I finally found the thing on Facebook I was looking at.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
It was actually made for a group down at Texas Renaissance Festival. It's Vice Stuff Panda. It's a tiger with a henna-style
It's like patterns. Golden tiger.
Yeah, but the stripes are done in, like, henna.
That's really cool.
You know, I thought the whole people asking for free shit was a myth. And one of the comments on here, oh, can you make one for me? I don't have any money, and I want to give it as a gift to my friend in California. They don't have any money either. And just all these people going, are you fucking insane to this girl? Where it's just, what? You just asked someone for a couple $1,000 worth of stuff. Not just their profits, but like
their work.
It took them like 200 to 300 hours for this, which at minimum wage for 200 hours is $1,400. And that's like lowballing the hour. Never mind all the materials that go into. And it's like, can I have one for free? I want to give it to a friend. It's like, you fucking moron. And then there's a whole bunch of people shouting her down, and she's like, shut up, stop replying to my blah. I was talking to Maker, not you. And just a whole bunch of people just going like, are you fucking...
How dare you reply to my public post on a public website where I make a public fool of my public self?
It's got to be like 12.
Yeah, probably.
And the Super Maker finally replies. It's a very dignified reply, and probably one that they've used a bunch. But just this whole bunch of, my God, girl. She's like, I only get paid $10 a week. It's like,
what are you doing?
She said she works a volunteer job. It's like, what do they give you $10 to do?
And it's,
I'm sure you're very popular.
But it's like
volunteer hand jobs. Yeah, that's dumb.
It's like, it's a gorgeous.
On the other hand,
it's a yeah.
That is fucking hot.
Yeah, that's nice. And Fuzz, like, so Shiva has a picture of a very nice golden tiger fursuit, and Fuzz is like, hey, look, it's a deer with the cross-dressing deer in a maid costume. Yeah.
Yeah. I just sent it to Rahata.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
I thought it was pretty, but I was just looking through the comments, and it's like, a lot of it was really nice, and, oh, that's an awesome job, and blah, 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 and, you know, how do I, you know, the basic good responses. And then there was this one fucktard child.
And then there's this asshole.
It's wow. Like,
what are you thinking?
That's really silly.
That's like handout level
I'm surprised you didn't know that that actually happened.
Like, I think I'd seen it for, like, artists on, like, FA where... But not a fucking fursuit.
It's not a $150 commission. It's like a $3,000 fursuit. Yeah. Although, you know what I have seen, though? I have seen... Hey, does anyone know where I can... get a suit made. I have $85 saved up, but I need it to be a really good one.
It's like, are you fucking insane?
It's like, you can't afford like the fur for a partial with $85, let alone the actual making of it or anything else. But anyway, do you want to go on to the emails?
Yeah, why don't we just go on to the emails at this point? Because I'm like drawing a blank on what else to discuss. OaklaCon. Entitled Bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And now emails. If you're an entitled bitch, okay. No. All right. So, as always, you can email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com or send us anonymous questions via our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. That being said, we actually have a number of we have about half and half this week. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
We will get to our first email, and this is from a particular Hockey, Poker, and WWE 11 Skunk. I will start us out. It's a Fur Affinity United con report.
Bow!
Bow! Dear Notcast crew, Marcus Noble here to talk to you about my experiences with Fur Affinity United. Bow! This ended up being the only con I went to this year. I wanted to go to Furthermore earlier in the year, but I had to use a good amount of my vacation time to go to a funeral.
Ooh.
That's not fun. This was my first time at FAU and my first time in New Jersey as well. I drove from Maryland on Thursday. It took longer than expected as it was raining during the whole trip. However, I did still manage to get there safely, picked up my con badge that night, and being an elite level sponsor, I got a special plastic con badge with my name engraved on it. I'm going to assume it's one of those, like, thick ones. Yeah. I've seen a couple cons do it. On Friday, I attended a couple of interesting panels about psychology behind fursonas and another about being furry over 30. Being that I just turned 30 back in January, I thought it would be interesting. Thankfully, it wasn't just a bunch of folks talking about how good things used to be. More, it was exchanging funny stories about being older and in the furry fandom. Mm. Man, God, imagine being over 30 in the furry community, Fuzz.
Oh, my God.
Then I went to opening ceremonies. It was thankfully short, but I still found it a bit odd that the opening ceremonies for the con were that late in the day. Still, I like that I got to pick up my laser-engraved notebook with some really nice artwork on the cover.
Wait, what time were they?
He didn't mention it. Oh. But, well, I mean, opening ceremonies being late on a Friday makes sense for when people still getting in.
Yeah, especially smaller cons do that if they're...
Hell, yeah, my con does that.
Yeah, if they're not intending to be like a four-day con.
Yeah, still, Saturday started out with me running my Would You Rather panel, which, despite the small turnout, was enjoyable for myself and those that did attend. I do admit I expected a small audience, being the most were probably recovering from hangovers gained from room parties the previous night, but I'm glad that it went well. After that, I attended the Pepper Cody and Foxmore concert. That was my first time seeing both of them perform live, and it was great. Later was supposed to be a cookout where they would be providing the musical entertainment. However, since it had started raining, the event had been moved inside to the hotel restaurant, and they even allowed Pepper and Fox to perform there as well.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. I went to the charity auction after that because even if I don't buy anything, the auctioneer is usually entertaining on their own. The charity auction was emceed by Pepper Cody and Cooper Tom. I did purchase 2 volumes of the Kingdom Hearts manga to help support the charity. After getting dinner, I went to play with the charity poker tournament where I managed to get 2nd place. I'm hoping to win it all next year.
Cool.
Sunday I ended up spending mostly in the main events room. First was another concert from Pepper Cody and Fox Amore, but this was one of them fucking around on stage. And that's not my criticism of the performance. The panel was called Pepper and Fox Fucking Around.
Oh, man, I'd pay to see that.
Then another musical performance, this time from NIC, the Singing Dog.
Apparently it's pronounced nice.
Nice, okay. Mm-hmm. And after that, there were fursuit games consisted of limbo, charades, and musical chairs. Because nothing is more fun than watching fursuiters flail about and fall over, right? Last but not least, there were the closing ceremonies where all the guests were thanked and the final amount raised for the con's charity, the New Jersey SPCA, was revealed. Afterward, I ended up going to the nice Indian buffet restaurant that was recommended on the con's website. Then I went home on Monday morning since the weather was clear and sunny. It didn't take me as long as a trip up. For me, this was a good experience, especially since I got to meet some furs that I'd only talked to online before. As much as I like my local furry friends in Maryland, it is nice to talk to others every so often. My only real criticism is really less with the con itself and the layout of the hotel. The main events room, dealer's den, and zoo were in one area of the hotel on the first floor. However, all the panel rooms were on the opposite end of the hotel on the 2nd floor. The The distance itself wasn't too bad for me, but it was still a bit inconvenient. All in all, I enjoyed myself and look forward to going back next year. Sorry for the novel, but I know you all like your counterparts, so there you go.
Just do it.
Marcus Noble, the hockey poker, and WWE Living Thunk. And for some reason, my phone is going bzzz.
Yeah, it's a really odd buzz sound there.
Okay. That was a dryer.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh. No, it was the phone? Yeah. Okay. Well, while Saverin silences his phone, we'll read the next email.
It's more of a comment than an email.
So, yes, but it came via electronic mail. So
well, the thing is, my phone was silenced. That was its vibrating motor.
Yeah.
Sitting on top of my mouse pad over there.
Oh, I guess it's because it was on the mouse pad. It sounded a lot louder than its normal vibe does. So the next one this comment is all Saverin's fault. Blast you! Not cast. Last night I dreamed about Centaur Girls. Now I have to watch Monster Musume. So thanks for that. Your trans girl Pango in Georgia, Kylie.
You're welcome.
Horse pussy.
Don't fuck the snake. Actually, that...
Can that be our new sign-off? Good night and horse pussy. Don't fuck the snake.
No. I just say good night and don't fuck the snake.
Yeah. Don't fuck the baby.
Don't do that either. Yeah, I think the last episode, either... I don't know if it's 12 or 13 episodes. So episode 12 came out Sunday and I haven't watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or Monday. And I'm not sure if there's a 13th episode or if it's over. I'll be sad if it's over.
I haven't watched any of it since my two-episode trial. It's just, I'm not super into watermelon boobs and water balloon boobs, and they have serious cases of both.
Well, you know, you've also got the flat-chested harpy and the slime girl who can be both, and you've got the mermaid who's... Mermaid doesn't have massive tits.
I'm just like, listen to you, you fucking troll. You know, talking about women like that. The flat chested harpy, you slime girl.
God, I don't know. I had actually, I made a video. It was like my initial reaction to the first episode, and I was just like really blown, kind of blown away and kind of negative towards it. And it got a ton of dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And after like a few hundred views, and I was like, I took it down today, and I'll probably do a series review once I watch the last one. And be like, all right, it was actually pretty good.
I thought you liked.
I did like it, but like my initial response was kind of negative because like I'd only seen the first episode and it hadn't grown on me yet.
Oh, okay.
It was just like, wow, they really are going all over, all out. And then I'm like, but I like that. So
tits cool. To the wall, not balls.
Yeah,
tits yep. To the wall.
Giant. Snake tits and horse tits and small bird tits.
That would be sort of amusing, actually, if they did an anime where it was about guys instead of girls, and they featured the balls like that. There were all these massive.
It would be about Tanuki. It pendulous... would have to be about Tanuki.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, it's like
you'd have to have the characters have to have a swimsuit for their balls to keep them in control.
It's called Free.
Yeah, but it's not quite what he's...
No, but I'm saying it's like when it comes to anime, the response to that, I say, is Free. Or if you just want an anime where it's a reverse harem, where it's a girl and a bunch of dudes who are literally supposed to be personification of gods, you get Kamigami no Asobi, which aired last season, I think, or maybe last fall on Crunchyroll.
It's always so sexy when he starts talking in his native tongue.
Well, I'm just saying it's like this... There actually are this style of show for chicks.
Yeah, but they don't feature giant swinging balls.
No, but they do feature...
Anime? Get on that. We need more giant swinging balls.
And possibly chiseled swimmer dudes and beautiful gods, literal gods,
mm-hmm.
who all want to bang the Fujoshi-looking chick.
So, Fennec are originally from the Sahara, which is quite large.
Yeah.
Which particular dialect is your native tongue? Texan.
Yep.
What part of the Sahara are you originally hail from?
The Texas Sahara.
Oh, Plano.
Texas when it all turns to dirt and boringness.
God. Like, Oh, you're from Abilene. I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. All right. So there is.
Do you want to read this Tumblr, Jiva?
Sure. Let me get back to it. I went to go Google where Fennecs are originally from. let's see. It's more of a.
More of a statement than a question.
Mm-hmm. So a couple Tumblrs. I was never one for con, sadly, but it saddened me so much to hear about OkoCon and how that came to be. Hopefully someone could revitalize it later on, though from what I read, I don't think it will be any time coming back. I don't think it will be coming back in our lifetimes. Rip OkoCon. Yeah.
She's just so choked up. I'm sorry. Yeah. She couldn't get through your...
I bite.
Oh, my.
Good Lord.
But, yeah, the...
The gears are everywhere.
it won't be coming... The event known as OkoCon and the LLC that they ran it under will be no more before too long. And if somebody else wants to start up an Oklahoma Furry Con, good fucking luck.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be in a state park. I mean,
I would be pretty burned out after.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty sure that nobody involved with OkoCon, especially on the high level, is, like, ever going to want to get near, well, I say ever, but is want to be going near any sort of convention organization for a good while, if ever again.
Like, this
would be one of those, well, throw in the towel, fuck it, I'm going to just go run the dong store.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If that something like that happened at Fiesta, I would be freaking devastated. Well, yeah. I would be absolutely catastrophically devastated.
I mean, we've been with Fiesta for what, 8 years now?
Yeah. 8
operational years?
Not counting all the pre-leading, the time that went up to it, but yeah.
2016 is our 8th con.
Yeah.
But we had the, like, 13-month lead up to the first con that we've been involved in from day fucking one.
So that's.
And so, yeah, it's like we would. Know exactly how that would feel.
I mean, it won't be terribly long until we've been at it a decade. It's just kind of scary to think about. Mm. I mean, that'll hit for us longer than the 10th Fiesta year, but some of the veterans of the con will cross our first decade fairly shortly.
You're not getting rid of me anytime soon.
So, that was just a comment. Yeah. The next one's more of a question.
Okay.
It's background.
Have you got well, me?
No, I started, right?
I started. Finished. Buzz.
Yeah, because you
are you sure?
Yeah.
Aren't I Shiva? Because we went.
No, I read the first one from Marcus. You read the one from Kylie. You read the Tumblr one. We're going clockwise today.
Okay.
We're not going Wittershins. It's not Halloween.
See, you guys confused the fuck out of me.
Sorry.
Wait, we only do that on Halloween now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's like, have you guys heard of Frisky Beast? I've seen a little bit about their products and looked at their website, but I've wondered if any of the cast had experience with or had heard anything about their products. Thanks, guys. Keep casting those, not smiley face. So I'm going to assume that they're a dong maker.
Yes, they are.
They are.
They applied to our den last year. They didn't get in, but I still had to, like, look up their product.
As one should.
And... As far as I know, I haven't heard anything good, bad, or otherwise about their products. I've heard of, like, of course, Bad Dragon. Before Bad Dragon, there was Zeta Toys.
Yeah. That's a decidedly Narsh-looking Tyrannosaurus there.
To me, they kind of look like a knockoff of Bad Dragon.
That's what I'm getting from right here. I'm actually going to look at their product, waiting for their website to load. And their logo is a definite knockoff.
It's a Jurassic Park kind of parody. Yeah, there's three major dong makers in the fandom that I know of. The third one would be Exotic Erotics. Then there's this one, Frisky Beast, and of course Bad Dragon, everybody knows.
Yeah, see, all products. What do you got here?
I'm just going to say I have heard of them, of course. I believe that they were dealing at FWA with the other two dong makers. Like, they were all in their own little... adult dealer's room. Not little, actually. It was actually quite large. But I haven't really looked closely at their product, and I haven't really heard reviews or anything from them either way. So it's sort of like, give it a shot. Maybe ask around, you know,
well, I'm looking
if any
at
of our
their...
listeners have use their products, want to write in and let us know if they're any good, you know?
Like, they have their shit's mainly all dinosaur themed or whatever, so as opposed to dragon. Mm. And their prices seem very low relative.
I can't say anything about the quality of their silicone or anything.
Like, say, hey, look, it's a fuck tube that's...
Well, I mean, let's not, like...
I'm not belittling. I'm like they have their basic stuff, and unfortunately, like, there says pricing from zero, and, like, you have to be logged in to add stuff to their cart and actually see the price, yeah, I suppose.
If people have laid hands on any of them, especially if they've tried both them and Bag Dragon or another maker such as Zeta Toys and have a comparison, like, we'd love to hear.
I have an ancient... Zeta Fox that you can't use anymore because it's made with the phthalate having shit. So I was like, can't use that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think I threw it out.
Someone will get yucky after a while.
If somebody goes dumpster diving and they found that, woo! but no, I'm afraid I've not heard of their... I hadn't heard of them before this, and I'm sure that if somebody has used their product or gotten a hold of their product, let us know. Because, I mean, hey, dongs are fun. And you know, there's,
yeah,
you know, what a great world we live in that there is actually a competitive market for fantasy dongs. Animal people dongs.
Yeah,
or just yeah.
Not just one animal dong maker. There's at least three.
Yeah, three or four.
Yep. Okay.
What a world.
The next anonymous Tumblr is, what emails won't you answer? Archive.
Usually it's anything from who's underage, though we've made,
like,
a couple
I'm 12 and I really like your show and I want to know, can I fuck my teacher?
Deleted.
We generally try to skirt away from anything that's outright illegal. We skirt around from... Seriously, we've answered some underage before, but we usually try to stay away from answering underage, or especially the younger you get, the more less likely we'll be able to respond. It's a legal thing. I mean, even if we respond via email privately to a minor.
Yeah, it's like, we're corrupting a minor.
Yeah, that can get us into some legal hot water. Believe it, it's not that we don't care. It's we have to cover
our butts. It's just CYA. And yeah, there's really not a lot of emails that we won't answer. But
we generally don't touch anything or a lot about bestiality or pedophilia.
Yeah.
Or cubs. Again,
and that starts to get into weird legal gray areas. Yeah. So, and we don't know all the laws, so we try to stay away from answering anything.
Plus, it's just one of those things that we don't have, I'd say, quote, useful input on, other than the fuck is wrong with you is generally not a helpful response.
No.
So
I have no interest in expanding my knowledge in those areas. So.
Well, don't you know that there was, like, some salon.com article that, like I'm a pedophile, but I'm okay, and, like, I'm not even fucking joking.
Actually, no, that was very interesting because I actually found that fascinating because there's the non-practicing pedophiles. Which
they're aware and they take steps to prevent.
Right, and they actually, you look like a deer in headlights right now.
No, I'm just like.
It's mostly people who acknowledge that this is a risk and they do what they can to mitigate it and they seek help.
Right, the article, the interview with the guy was actually quite interesting because he was talking about how when he was like under 18 and he was attracted to a certain age and then he noticed that as he was getting older, the age type that he was attracted to was not also getting older. Because it's common to be 18 and be attracted to another 18-year-old or somebody within a couple of years. I mean, usually that goes up as you grow older.
At least to an extent.
So that when you're 25, you're wanting to fuck someone in their 20s. That's perfectly normal. But some people that just doesn't happen to for whatever reason. And there's not a lot of funding for this. So there's not a lot of psychological research for this. So
there's a lot of punishment involved.
We don't actually know why people become pedophiles because it doesn't always match up to I was abused as a child or something like that. Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. But because it's such a scary area, there's no funding to research this. There's no control group. And it's also like you would have to admit that you were a pedophile.
And at which point you're demonized.
To get into some kind of study. And then who's going to do that and take that risk? Even if you're not fucking kids, just to say, I have this interest is enough to be a huge red flag.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's not a comfortable subject, but some people do at least try to seek help, but they're scared about seeking help about it because then, oh God, even if they have nothing on their computers and even if they've taken no actions, if they seek help for it, I mean, they still get put on. Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously people that actually fucked kids, no, fuck them. You know, they need to go to trial. They need to go to jail.
But it's people who don't repress their urges for
it. If you're just fucking, tormented by these desires that you cannot act on because
you know they're wrong.
They're fucking wrong. What do you do about that? What do you do to get help for that?
I have seen a couple of articles along those veins of, I don't like this. I don't know how to safely get help, even if I'm fine and I'm not doing anything about it, you know, not giving into any of these urges. How do I get help without, you know, demonizing myself? I mean, I heard of one guy who basically went and got chemically castrated because he didn't want to feel those feelings anymore. That was another one of the articles I saw.
An extreme but likely pretty effective solution.
And it killed sex drive entirely for him. So.
It's like, you know, what do you do? You know, I try to kind of put myself in their shoes and be like, that would really suck. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a life ruiner. And the guy they're interviewing was like, it's like late teens, early 20s or something like that. And he's kind of like, my life is fucked because I have this thing in my head that I have no control over.
It would be kind of like if you being gay was actually wrong and actually did damage to people. You can't just turn it off. I can not take any actions on my attraction to women, but it doesn't make it go away. So,
and I wouldn't say it actually is a sexuality.
But it's an indelible part of my being, and I can't turn it on or off.
But I'm saying the problem is that we don't know why it's an attraction, because no one's studying it. So if we knew that...
Or if they do, it's as a criminal.
Right. If we knew that, we'd know how to fix it.
It's usually to hunt them down and stop them and catch them, not the base reason of why and how do we treat it. Of course, there's some people out there that are this way that don't want treatment. They like this.
Yeah, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, actually having shit was a child porn or acting on it. Stuff like the Jared guy actually hooking up with underage people and helping his friend film child porn. I mean, you know, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you haven't actually done anything illegal, kind of pity those people.
Yeah. So what won't we cover?
I'm really wondering where your take is on that, because
you've been very quiet.
Yeah. Do you think Shiva and I are crazy for not just being like, fuck all pedophiles, burn them all?
No, I think you're just opening a Pandora's box.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The problem is that the Pandora's box is open and nobody's really...
I don't really know if it's opening a Pandora's box, because if someone writes to us and says, I'm a pedophile, please help me, we've just talked for 10 minutes about how nobody knows how to fucking help you on this situation.
It's like, don't fuck kids.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Basically, basic advice would be try not to act on it. Acting on it would be really bad. And maybe...
Don't. You end up in an echo chamber with other pedos?
Yeah.
I mean...
Because you've got places not on...
That's the thing that was in the Salon article, was support group, was they actively pushed out people that had acted on it, or the people like the NAMBLA people that wanted to make it legal. Yeah. Like, they specifically pushed those people out. The support group was designed for people struggling with the attraction. It's sort of like an Alcoholics Anonymous kind of thing, like sponsoring each other and stuff like that.
So try to keep away from people who would justify.
It was more of an anti-child fucking echo chamber, not a pro-pedo echo chamber.
I just have a very strong response to that whole thing, and I can explain after the show why.
Okay.
But that's just one of those, like, disgust to me things. But
yeah, I mean, I can understand the visceral reaction.
Yeah, I can too, 100%.
Yeah.
I just feel sorry for the people who have the willpower to resist it and to not act on it and yet still face it.
Yeah. And no, it wasn't because I was molested or anything like that, but I have my reasons. Well, that got heavy.
Occasionally we do tackle difficult subjects.
Speaking of heavy, we don't really talk about gainers, you know, or people that are into getting their partner fat.
Because we're already fat. We're looking to go the other way.
Don't force feed your partner.
Is there like the opposite fetish, though? Is there thinners?
Oh, yeah.
That like, no, not that you like skinny guys, because I like skinny guys.
Oh,
that
yeah.
You like seeing people get thinner. Like,
actually, yes.
You're really thinner. Into the... Yeah, exactly. You're really into the gypsy fandom, and you like cursing each other and making each other thinner.
No, in all seriousness, yes, there is a section of the BDSM community which is about diet control.
Huh.
Yeah. I follow a couple of people on Twitter. That's not why I'm following them, but they share that.
I'm following them because they have some really great recipes that will
actually
fill you up.
Some of the stuff that... No, but it was very portion control. And
I figure you'd follow them for the cooking. You'd be like, that's a good way to make fat-free cookies.
Actually, a lot of it looked
really
good.
Now put on your cage, Sarah, and enjoy these cookies.
Well, it was things like chicken and veggies, and actually some of it looked really good, which is why I started paying attention to their posts. It's like,
right. Oh,
this is part of something their mistress is doing. Like, the mistress would set down, I think they listened to Notcast anyway, so they can add in. Like the recommended meals, water, exercise, things like this.
Actually welcome feedback from this because I've heard about gainers for years, which for those that don't know, it's that your partner, you want to make them fatter. So you feed them burgers and chicken and donuts.
Discourage them from exercising.
Right, because you want your partner to be fatter. I don't know what the end game is there because once they're fat... Where do you go from there? You just keep building them up until they're like a bouncy castle of lard. But I have not heard the reverse before.
Yep,
so,
it is a thing.
It just seems like
fitness control. Yep.
Being fit and losing weight, except they turned it into part of their kink.
Yeah. It's basically handing over.
I really like exercising it, and when I get done after being on the treadmill for an hour and a half, I jack off really hard.
No, it's more like along the line of setting out another constraint that your mistress says you have to follow. So it's basically handing over another set of keys to the kingdom, where you're turning over another part of
you. So instead of locking up your cock and saying you can't jerk off, or maybe in addition to, they're like... You can't eat donuts, or you're only going to eat these.
Or you have
things,
to sit to this kind of calories a day, or.
It actually sounds like a good motivator if you work it into a sort of weird, like a master slave.
Sarah just looks confused.
I don't know. I'm like fascinated by this. I was like, okay, I'm not shocked that it exists because everything exists.
Yeah.
Even things that I'm like, why is that hot? I don't understand. Like,
I'm just
I don't
kind
understand.
Of like...
how inflation is hot or anything. Because to me, I'm like, I have some bad burritos. I feel inflated. That feels uncomfortable, you know? So I don't understand that. But, like, the fact that there are people in the world that think that's hot is not a shock at all.
You
know?
I'm just
it's
like,
the same with this.
I don't know. It's like I'm... it just is like I personally can't see fetishizing that because it's been such a thing for me that it's not like I'm not going to get hard to the fact that I have to watch what I eat. And exercise to lose weight.
I don't think they get hard from the actual act of dieting and exercise. Well, they probably get hard from being controlled by the other person.
And yeah, it's not even a physical sexual reaction.
So
it's
far not me.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's I'm not me like, either, but I know it's just, there.
I can understand it's there, but I can't grok it.
I can grok it. I don't think I'd want to take part of it. I do have a lot of friends and such in the BDSM community. I do see some of the mentalities that go on there. I can't see myself filling either side of that role, but I find the psychology of it really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The whole power play is, at least as far as a human psychology stand for it, is really interesting.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily want to be, like, somebody's master, but I'll totally, like, tag team somebody, like a wrestling team.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, you're in, you know, go in and, like, take over because my arm's getting all tired from all this beating or something, you know.
The safe word's banana.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
Oh. Okay, that went over my head, sorry. It sounds familiar, though. You know what? The most shocking thing that I encountered online is that some people fetishize little ponies.
What a fucking group of weirdos.
I know, right? Who the fuck would do such a thing?
Who would want to come inside Rainbow Dash?
Speaking of
She's just a little blue pony.
Or fucking Robin Hood. I mean, God. Who could ever fucking like Robin Hood?
Oh, he's so cute.
In that Zootopia movie? Man, anybody that watches that.
No Zoo-o. Actually, what I was going to say, leading on to that, another apparently minor kerfluffle, like fandom flame status, very small, you know, Cub Scout not being able to start a fire kind of level flame. But somebody made a journal on how, like, all Rule 34 is disgusting and there shouldn't be any of it and we should all be ashamed of ourselves or something like that. And apparently it got, like, 8 million and one responses on FA, and people were talking about it on Twitter and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow, that guy sounds like a real fun guy at parties.
And I'm just like, okay, I picked up a comic to my right here. It's Spider-Gwen number one. It was on sale for $1 at a comic shop I went to. And I'm like, I bet there's Rule 34 of most of these characters.
I was wondering what you were doing when you picked that up.
Hey, look, just it's like Guardians of the Galaxy on Disney XD. I wonder if there's any porn of Rocket Raccoon.
That would be terrible.
And Groot, that'd be weird. And especially Star-Lord.
It'd be tentacle porn. Groot but, porn. Like, the way the guy was talking about it was like that this was like a furry thing. This is what furries did, and furries are horrible and disgusting because of Rule 34. And it's like, are you shitting me? They were doing like superhero Rule 34 in the fucking 30s.
Yeah.
You know?
Tijuana Bibles.
Yeah.
were Disney characters in the early 20s.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, really
people
ridiculous.
People have been making porn of fictional characters as long as there's been printing.
As long as there have been things, humans have wanted to fuck them. As long as there have been melons, people have been cutting a hole in them and sticking their dick in them. Yeah. No. That's why people became farmers.
Okay.
And here's the thing is I am notorious for hating fan fiction. I really hate fan fiction. And even I can understand Rule 34.
I love that. I don't read it. I don't actually follow the account because I don't want to read it all the time. But I've seen people occasionally retweet the fanfiction _TXT
those are fun.
On Twitter. And when I see that coming up occasionally, I think it's pretty funny. Some of them are just terrible. That, and there's like the awful fantasy account. That one's a good one too.
So yeah, basically, Tijuana Bibles, known as 8 Pagers, Tillian Mack Books, etc., were palm-sized pornographic comic books produced in the United States from the 1920s to the 1960s. Popularity peaked during the Great Depression era. Most Tijuana Bibles were obscene parodies of popular newspaper comic strips of the day, like Blondie, Barney Google, Moon Mullins, Popeye, Dick Tracy, Little Orphan Annie.
Oh my god.
Others made use of characters based on popular movie stars and sports stars of the day, like Mae West and Joe Lewis. God.
Speaking of, go ahead.
So, yeah, basically, the subjects were explicit sexual escapades, usually featuring well-known newspaper comic strip characters, movie stars, and rarely political figures.
Oh, damn.
So
I found the link to the guy's journal, but he's deleted the journal.
If you ever want to see anything fucking frightening, go look up the original Betty Boop when she was still an anthropoodle.
Yeah.
It is fucking...
Wait, Betty Boop was an anthropoodle?
She was actually a poodle for a dog.
And poodles are dogs, Saverin. God.
Google Betty Boop poodle.
She looked like a bulldog.
It's awful.
Yeah. Tijuana Bible is repeated without a trace of self-consciousness the ethnic stereotypes found in popular culture at the time. The one Tijuana Bible, You Nazi Man, concluded on a serious note with a brief message from the author pleading for greater tolerance in Germany for the Jews. So, yeah. And so people have been making and printing and distributing Rule 34, as we know it.
Yeah, Betty Boop dog pretty much brings up all the... Oh, that is that her there?
Middle top row.
Here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, she's kind of hideous looking.
Yes, she is.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to like image shame Betty Boop or anything.
No, I like her much better in her later revisions.
She's still kind of ugly. Her head still has more mass than her entire body.
Some sort of weird alien. She doesn't look like a dog. She looks like an alien with like weird tentacle things out of her.
Yeah, she does.
Supposed to be like little floppy dog ears, but
it's awful.
But they're kind of no. She's better off with the Luke that we've all come to know and love here on Betty Boopcast.
Huh. A 1954 episode of Dragnet, the big producer, had Sergeant Joe Friday breaking up a high school smut ring, which includes a teenage boy selling 8-pagers out of a school locker. The term Tijuana Bible was used in the 1968 Dragnet episode, The Starlet.
Huh.
So, yeah.
So, we have one email left.
It's fairly long.
Yes.
Yeah. Neat picture of Wolf and Horse's ghost.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That's pretty cool. It's like they went to, like, the...
An Old West show.
Yeah.
Who reads this one?
Vintage photographer. Well, it would be Shiva, but... If you want to read it. I mean, it's long. Do you want to read it?
Go ahead. He's gotten short ones.
Okay. Go for it, Fuzz.
Oh, wait. I have to read it? Ah. No. If you pass, then it should go to him.
Fine. I'm good at reading.
You get enough practice, dear?
Yes. All right. So
we could trade off if you want.
No, it's all right.
Tag team that
Emotional
bitch.
Stability versus growing up. Wall of text alert. Is another message from Jeeves. Dear Notcast.
Tag! No.
I'm going to preface this email with a comment that I always make when telling a particular anecdote about my past. He's fine and fully healthy now. Don't worry, it'll make sense when you get to that part of my email. Smiley face.
Okay.
My question this week is whether you think that age plays more of a factor in determining someone's emotional stability, or is it more down to circumstances such as the things they go through while growing up, as well as social factors like their friendships, romantic relationships, employment, or lack thereof, etc. I ask this because the older I get, I'm 27 in a couple weeks, the more distant I feel emotionally from my younger self. Some of the problems I faced in my teenage years and even my early 20s seem far less consequential. I find it more and more difficult to relate to younger furries in particular. The vast majority of interpersonal drama I see feels like it's all about nothing, and yet I can't help but wonder if I'd been through the same thing 8 or 9 years ago, I may as well have reacted exactly the same way as they are now.
Makes sense.
At the same time, I know that I did go through a bunch of stuff in my early years which helped me make me as mature as I now think myself to be. I had to learn to cook, clean, and keep house for myself when I was 14 years old, and my parents were spending most of their time caring for my younger brother, who spent almost a full year in and out of the hospital suffering from leukemia.
Hence the he's fine now.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Due to a screw-up by our local doctor misreading his symptoms as a bad case of the flu, the cancer went undiagnosed for over a month until it was nearly beyond the point of treatment. Thus, I spent the better part of a year with my family being nearly 60 miles away at the nearest hospital with a specialist children's ward. My brother was 7 when diagnosed, and during the 2 years after that he still needed a great deal of care and treatment. Like I said at the start of the email, however, he's fine and healthy now. One of the hospital's greatest success stories to date. Fuck cancer in the ass with a rusty barbed wire dildo.
I'm just baffled at this doctor that thought it was a flu just being like, oh, it's just a bad flu.
Have some tea and go lay down.
Oh, walk it off.
Put some haggis on it.
Yes, yes, sissy wee wanker, walk it off. It's no big deal. It's just a cold. We all get a cold. Leukemia? Fuck.
Oh, I've done buggered enough. All right, anyways, based on that story, I hope you understand why I posed my question the way I did. I didn't have a normal experience growing up, if there is such a thing as a normal experience. As such, I don't know whether the fact I feel fairly emotionally stable now in my mid-20s is simply due to my age, or the stuff that I went through as a teenager which prepared me for the rougher patches in the following decade. As always, I hope this question prompts a few thoughts and a little discussion. Thanks, ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo from Scotland. P.S. It just occurred to me I should have pointed out another key factor in my emotional development. I take daily medication for clinical depression and have done so since I was 20. My late teenage years were a very rocky time for me, but not due to any of the facts mentioned above, rather due to my own mental health. When I talk about emotional stability, I mean mental health conditions notwithstanding. If it wasn't for the medication I take, I have no doubt I would be a far less well-rounded and enthusiastic individual than I am. Smiley face.
Yeah, I think...
I think everything ties together.
She can talk.
I said, yeah, I think.
Quit speaking over women, Fuzz.
That was the other way around.
Go ahead, Shiva.
You talk, Shiva. You talk.
Go to your corner.
This is Wolf Abuse Cast.
So, go ahead.
Are you sure?
I don't have to give you the speaking dildo.
We should get one.
I heard a great quote about when someone interrupts you, though. It's like, I didn't mean for the middle of my sentence to interrupt the beginning of yours.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's all right. I've mostly forgot. Okay. Oh, what I was going to say was, I don't think there's that anybody really has a normal growing up. Everybody has their own individual fucked up experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of what you're feeling is due to age. Because, mm-hmm. like, shit started to kind of settle down in my life around that same age. He said he's 27. Anything over 25, like, it's almost like the veil lifts and you start to kind of see the path of your life before you a little bit. And, yeah, whenever you overcome a problem, you're going to look back on your past self from 5-10 years ago and be like,
man, that was dumb.
That was dumb, or that wasn't as serious as I thought it was at the time. Because it's overcoming obstacles. That's kind of normal. But that seems typical to me. I don't know if your experience may vary. So,
you know, we're all past 30 at this point, so we're the gray muzzles.
Oh, God. You missed the... Marcus's con report. He went to the it was called being older, and it was
over 30 and furry or something. Yeah, like that.
It was over 30 and furry and being older in the fandom, and I'm just like,
fuck.
When I think being older, I think retirement age, like or 60 50. Or something. Yeah. You know, yeah, and not, oh, you're 30, you're officially older in the fandom.
Well, for me, my general view is that I realize now at 32 that, yeah, a lot of the shit that I thought was world-shattering back then was really dumb, but I was also a teenager then, and so the scope of shit in my life was pretty narrow, all things considered. You know, minor internet dramas and bullshit, like with my parents' church, dealing with bullies and jerks there. You know, it was really important to me then. And now, in the grand scheme of things, now that I am much older, I look back and think, that really wasn't a big deal. That was dumb. I shouldn't have done that. Like, there's plenty of stuff that we would all go back and tell ourselves, yeah, really, don't worry about this. It's not a big deal. P.S. That guy's crazy. Don't date him. You know?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and as you mature, you kind of get some perspective. But when you're, you know, young, dumb, full of cum, and oh no, this person I like doesn't like me back, or they have a boyfriend that's, you know, slightly closer to me than I am, than they are to them, and it's an LDR, and they're going to choose them over me, and this is the end of the fucking world. Well, yeah, of course you're going to feel a little silly after the fact, but it really is a function of age. You know, they really say that you aren't fully cooked until you're 25. You know, once you hit 25, your brain has pretty much finished developing. And at that point, and this is, of course, no guarantee, but generally people tend to mellow the fuck out. That's about when I mellowed the fuck out, is about when I was 25. And I look back and I was like, man, I was kind of a shit in my early 20s. And, you know, a ball of rage in a lot of ways. And it took me until like 25, 26 to find my chill and become a far more stable individual than I was. Because I had some pretty fucking massive chips on my shoulder because of, you know, my teen years and all that fun stuff. I've expounded upon it in the past, but, you know, growing up extremely closeted with a parents that didn't quite understand you and in a church that was pretty anti-gay and being really big queer and having to hide that and all the pressure thereof and not having a bunch of friends that weren't related to the church. Yeah. Then I met this for a fag. No, seriously, you invited me to the Addison Fermi at Papa's Pizza. And
I was wow, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hey, I'm trying to make some furry friends because I was like, it's like I need to ditch these church people and make some normal people friends, like furries. Furries are normal. Hey, is there a fur meet in Dallas?
And then, I think I first met you out of the LJ Cafe meets.
Actually, I was attending your Akon meets.
Well, yeah, but
long time ago.
Yeah, but you were one of the ghosts that came in and didn't really.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was a very introverted.
The sea of faces.
It's no. That guy and that guy number two and that
and this guy
with
doesn't
the beard.
Know anybody, so he's just gonna kind of sit there and watch anime and not say anything and then drift off because he doesn't know anybody. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, in my, you know, it does take time for you to mature to finish cooking. What do you think, Shiva?
About what you guys said.
Okay. It's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, age plays a big factor, and a lot of the stuff that people feel that is a hill they will die on now, later will feel really dumb.
I do think
but
that...
But that's the nature of human existence.
I do think that some of your childhood, where you're forced to take responsibility, and yeah, if you don't wash the dishes, they're going to be gross tomorrow. Or if you don't cook for yourself,
you're going to go hungry.
Yeah. Hmm. There's a certain amount of, once you start taking care of yourself, then things change a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and I've seen this with living with roommates, especially those and exes now, where they're kind of forced to take care of themselves, where, yeah, you sink, you swim, nobody's going to take care of you.
Yeah, well, actually,
and you kind of learn self-reliance.
I would say that a lot of my personal maturation came from when Panther and I moved in together, and one of us had to really pick up and be the domestic of the two, and I took on that role, and I still play that role to this day. And yeah, it's like having to, like, all right, make sure the bills are paid, make sure the rent's paid, make sure that, you know, there's food in the fridge and the dishes are done and there's laundry, then Panther has clothes to wear to work because that's important. He needs pants and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, when you're basically kind of thrown into being an adult.
Take care of yourself. Take care of.
Take care of your significant other.
Yeah.
You know, when, it's not just you anymore.
And you have to either take up your slack or make your partner really fucking unhappy with you. And
don't
going to murder you in your sleep because, God damn it, you left the clothes on the floor again.
That's yeah. called a floor drobe.
What happened? Oh, it's like he was smothered with his Princess Luna Dakamakura. Must have been suicide.
Just wrap around her.
Yeah, so it's one part learning, one part cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I like you guys, and we've said several times, there's something magical about 25, whether it's, I mean, there is a biological, you know, where about people will stop being quite so all over the map in around 25.
The scientific term is derpy.
Yes. But a lot of teenagers and such tend to go through a lot of rocky times because they are in a sea of hormones. and this doesn't always tend to lead to the most stable of decisions or reactions. And around 25, that cocktail soup starts, you know, really ramping down and settling out, so you don't get quite as angry and quite as, you know. Plus, you've seen this all before, again and again and again. And you start getting tired of the bullshit.
Like, I've seen a couple folks lately that are over the age of 25 just bitching on Twitter about these, like, minor inconveniences. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, God, just shut the fuck up. You know, my patience level is just, like, gone for that kind of, like, everyday sort of thing, you know?
There's so much more that I need to worry about that's worth my time and worth my energy to worry about than this bullshit.
Yeah.
Whether it's larger matters in the world that impact me as a person, like, you know, gay rights, or whether it's minor, like, oh, God, Siam might be working from home next week and I have to rearrange my house, you know.
At least that's a good thing,
though. Yeah, he hasn't gotten confirmation yet, but if hopefully he does, I mean, we got to find room to make a small office nook somewhere, which means throwing out shit. But, yeah, I mean, I've got this thing to worry about over, you know, who's talking shit about who this week and... You know, Plus, I think at our age, we start to also realize that there's a difference between talking shit and
criticism. Getting hit.
And, well, there's a difference between criticism and discussion versus just trying to smear somebody's name, if that makes sense.
Trying to give feedback that, okay, you're doing this thing. Or it's really not good. You're going to fuck your life up.
Or it's something like...
In like a concerned way.
Or even if you are two people talking about a third, and that third person either has an issue that you don't know how to handle, or they have a behavior that bothers you, and the other person also has a problem with it. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily want to hurt the person causing the issue.
Yeah, like you're not ganging up on them.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to vent and maybe discuss what can we do to mitigate this situation. And sometimes it's nothing. But
God, that Savern guy. I mean, I know he's our friend and all.
God, those ears, what are we going to do?
He's really been drinking a lot lately. You know, there's all that cider in the fridge. Oh, hey.
Yeah,
these microphones are still on, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, and the people, and like that kind like of discussion, monitoring. I mean, there's a difference between talking shit and having an adult conversation that's one part vent. And you're not trying to slander anyone or spread rumors. Both parties are probably aware of the situation, maybe not all details.
Yeah.
But friends talk about how to handle other friends with mutual friends, and it's not something they get all tweaked about. Because everybody does it. It's mostly when it's meant to be harmful and or hurt that person's reputation when it should become an issue. But when you're younger, you hear that such and such was talking to you about that, and there's that instant knee-jerk gasp of, oh, crap, what have they been saying bad about me?
Mm-hmm. Or the urge to, like, defend yourself
or something. You know, and it's kind of learning to let that kind of stuff go where...
Yeah.
You realize people are going to talk, and it's not necessarily something to get so wound up about as when you were younger.
Yeah. Apparently, like, they've done studies on this. You know how, like, everyone's thing to say is, I don't care what people think.
No, but they do.
You know? No, I really do.
Apparently, you don't actually stop caring what people think till you're in your 60s. They've actually figured this out. There is a point that you literally do stop caring.
When you stop giving a fuck.
And it's not when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
Which is when everyone says, I don't care what people think.
You see, when I was a teenager and I finally hit that breaking point where, fuck it, I can't do anything right. And there's a point when everybody hits a point where you snap.
Yeah.
And at least for a moment to a short period of time, you manage to stop giving a fuck because you just let it go. inevitably, it usually creeps back up on you again, but there's always that blissful moment where you can let go of what other people's judgments mean to you, and it's like, that's really liberating. It generally doesn't last, but for the time it happens, it feels good.
it's that moment in Time Bomb where Pink is like, fuck it, have everything.
So, but yeah, adulting, and if you're our listeners, if you started listening to this podcast when you were sub 25, we've been going on long enough that some of you have crashed that magical threshold. Tell us what you think. I mean, do you agree with us? Is it just, I mean, give us your feedback, crushing threshold of 25.
And don't worry, listeners, we are going to help Saffron with his problems. We aren't just talking shit about him.
I need help.
No, you know, Shiva will start to control his diet.
Oh, man. I didn't agree to this.
And I'll just beat him.
We have L-shaped steak now, L-shaped green beans. Everything is L-shaped.
So, like, horrible chicken McNugget construction that's always L-shaped.
You only get, the L-shaped chicken from McDonald's.
Yeah, you get the pink goo, and you pour it into, like, the L-shape.
And then you cook that fucker.
Those are the only pizzas you're allowed to have now. You have to throw out the other ones. They're tainted by round.
But they're the dark meat ones.
No, I wish they were.
You can only
eat to be. Now, when I worked at McDonald's at a time ago, long away, called high school, just after high school, there were dark meat ones. A couple years ago, they just homogenized everything. And all the good dark meat ones went away.
Oh, well.
You can only eat the letter L in alphabet soup.
Oh, man.
You just have this pile of letters off to the side, all the L's picked out.
Speaking of weird pasta shapes, though, did you see the Texas-shaped pasta that I got
at Oktoberfest? No. Really?
Okay, so now we're going to transition to weird anecdotes, right? So Saturday, the hotel basically got myself, my co-chair, and my head of security free tickets to go to the Addison Oktoberfest.
That's right.
That and free mugs with free beer. And we also got to go to a keg tapping and be on the list to get free beer from this keg. And so that was a lot of fun. And there was forget the brand. I'll have to go, like, get it. But they were like, check out our new Texas-shaped pasta. And it's pasta with Texas shapes. And they had this, like, wheel of bullshit we could spin to win. And, I mean, the pasta's, like, what, maybe $2 a bag? And I was like, fuck, I want that pasta. And so I went up and spun the wheel and won a bag of pasta.
Oh, geez.
And it's Texas-shaped spaghetti
pasta. Were you going to give it to your folks? Or just have it here?
I was going to eat it. At some point.
You're like, fuck them. That's my Texas
pasta. That's my Texas-shaped pasta. It's the official dropping spaghetti of my con.
God.
You can only drop spaghetti if it is this shape.
God.
It is not the registered or required
shape. Texas-shaped pasta. Yep. I was just telling someone the other day about how bizarre Texas is, and it's so proud to be Texas.
Texas, fuck yeah.
You know?
That was part of the reason I was like, fuck, I need some of this pasta. I mean, it's probably for sale at stores right now.
Sure it is.
But it was just one of those free Texas-shaped pasta.
I know what brought it up. I think it was you had mentioned, you'd mentioned the hotel you stayed in for PAX South had the Texas-shaped waffle maker.
Japan, but yeah, it's where also I'll be staying for PAX South again this next year because I got tickets. Yeah. I'm excited. Cool. I'm going to hopefully have my video camera by that point. I'm going to get a Zoom Q8, one we have for Barneyville.
That really neat one he was showing off
that we've used before. I want to get one of them because it is an all-in-one with two XLR inputs. It does its job really pretty. It's not like super high quality in one way or the other, but it's good for bullshit videos like I make.
It's good for what ails you.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are now at nearly an hour and a half on the recording at this point. We're out of emails.
Call it a night here.
Yeah, let's call it a night, and I have some very important masturbating to do. No, I already took care of that earlier today. I'm just thinking, like, I have
TMI.
Stuff. I actually have some video editing I need to do.
Video editing of you masturbating for your X2 channel. Yeah. Just a horny fox.
Yes. Just a fox after dark. Yeah. Don't actually. I don't have an XTube account.
It's like
disclaimer.
If that's a real URL, it's not me.
So. Yeah, if it is your, it's not me. I don't have an XTube account. I mean, why would I have an account for a porn site? Just go there, fap, and be done.
It'd be great if it was somebody and they were like somebody completely unlike you. So the guy has like it's a 9-inch long black cock uncut or something like that. You know?
Yeah. That's
like, and no ears at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a lizard. They just have the ear slits.
Oh, man. That'd be weird. So.
Oh, that'd be awesome. The tongue would shoot out your wrap around your own tip and give it a tug.
If we were on video, there would be a funny face fuzz made, but we don't do video and won't ever do video for this podcast.
At least from the head up. Maybe from the neck down.
God. And then we could just be like, check out our tits. Anyways, so you can email us at notcast@foxduffers.com. You can follow our Tumblr and send us anonymous questions at notcast.tumblr.com. You can follow us on For Affinity, though we don't really post on it. And that's my fault, but eh.
Growl.
Notcast, and we have a Patreon, which is always very helpful. A little buck an episode or even less, because some dude put like 69 cents to give us 69.69 at one point. Patreon.com/notcast. Episodes go up immediately after being done for Patreon for patrons.
Before we could chicken out and be like, no, edit that part.
No, it's going, they get the raw, uncensored, 100% unfiltered, pure.
Oh, God, if that was a perk.
No, it's not. You get it early and we really think you're cool. And my phone's ringing, so it's time to wrap this up. So, on that note, good night.
And don't horse fuck pussy. This thing.
I'm glad you remembered too.